The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, July the 31st. And I'm joined on the show by the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. As usual, I haven't been here for ages.
No, you haven't. You've been away on holiday again. Again.
I know. I've been to sunny Scotland.
Well, I know.
It was sort of sunny. When it was rainy down here, it was sunny up there the first week, which was really nice.
Right.
And then when it was really lovely down here, it was chucking it down up there.
Well, you should have hot-footed it back to Hive.
I know. And it was nice when we got home. But yeah, it was a bit muddy in the old campsite.
Well, it's lovely to have you here anyway.
Yeah, it's lovely to be here.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm really impressed about our guests today.
Yeah.
By the way, just thought I'd say that now.
Yeah, we've got a good lineup of guests and we've got goodies in the studio too.
But I'm looking at one of them right there in front of us.
She's looking at me, listen. Oh, no, she's not. It's a bottle of wine on the side. Cool. Now, Jules is going to be spitting feathers over this.
I know.
And she's back in the country now as well. I've just seen a tweet from her.
We locked the door, so...
Yeah, absolutely. She can't get in. Mm. Yeah. Cool. And look, feel free to tweet us on the show. We'd love to hear from you on the tweets. Or, even better still, you could give us a call on 01303 874 998. 01303 874 998. Give us a call. Tell us about your business, your organisation, what you're up to, any events you're doing, any things you won. Tell us anything you want, really. Or you can tweet me at Vanilla Web. We've already had about 5 tweets in already. And we've got some emails. If you don't want to speak to Joe or me on the phone and you don't want to tweet us, you can email bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But the chances of it getting read out get slimmer and slimmer each week because we get a gazillion at least emails. But, do you know what? I think we'll start with an email now, Joe, if you want to do this one. Yeah.
Okay. Right. This is an entrepreneur aiming to clean up in the detergent market has created 14 jobs.
Oh, I like that. They're going to clean up in the detergent market. That's a pun.
Good play on words. They're very good. Yes. Yeah. Rob Knight, 33, of Pennenden Heath, has invented an eco egg, an egg-shaped container that releases pellets in a washing machine. Why, you might ask.
Blimey. Why, I might ask. Why would he do that, Gay?
He and business partner Dawn White spent 4 years developing an egg that would be more green and suit people with skin allergies. I paused then, so you were thinking it might have been an egg, you know, like to eat.
Yeah, yeah, I was confused at that point.
Exactly,
yeah.
But then you were wondering why you'd be putting an egg in a washing machine. That wouldn't be great, would it?
Absolutely. And then, but that made total sense about the skin allergies. Because if you washed your clothes in egg, I'm sure that wouldn't do you any good.
As usual, we're ruining this email. I'm surprised people actually send any in. So they cost $19.99 and they last for, get this, 720 wash loads.
Blimey.
How long would that
almost
take?
An entire week in my house.
Equivalent to less than 3p a wash compared to around 25p washing powders. And so far, more than 100,000 have been sold worldwide. To meet the demand, Mr. Knight has set up an HQ in Kings Hill, Westmorland, with 6 employees and an assembly plant on the Isle of Sheppey with 8. And you can find out more at their website, which is www.ecoeggonline.com.
Brilliant.
How cool is that?
That's really cool, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, I like that.
I need one of those, I think.
Yeah. It's really good. So, is it just normal washing powder you put in it, or do you have to have special stuff?
I assume you don't put washing powder in. I've seen these before,
mm.
Or something similar. It might have been this one, you never know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they have these pellet things.
So you just buy the egg?
Yeah, and then you just keep using it until it runs out, and then you buy another one, I think.
I get the idea. A bit like the air fresheners that are fixed, so that once it evaporates completely, you chuck it away and buy a new one.
Yeah, because sort of if you bought this for 720 washes and you were still buying washing powder, it wouldn't save you that money, would it?
No,
that difference between the 3p and the 25p.
Yeah, no, that's good thinking.
So, listener, you just get this egg. You don't need washing powder. It's 3p a wash for 720 washes.
Blimey. Eco-y.
You can tell he doesn't do much washing, can't you?
Yeah. No, I do loads.
There you go.
I just don't have an egg.
EcoEggOnline.com.
There you go. I'm going to buy one.
Yeah, excellent. Shall I do another one?
No, I'm going to do a tweet. I don't want to do any more. You've bamboozled
me now.
We ruined
that first one already.
Yeah, no, you bamboozled me now. I'm all a flutter now.
Go on then.
I'm going to do a tweet from Office Refurbishments, RAP, Office Contracts.
Where was she? Ask her.
Where were you, Julie?
She was supposed to be at my training course yesterday.
Blimey.
She was announced in the morning as turning up later.
Julie, you weren't there.
No.
Did you forget?
She said it all before, though, so she's good at her social media, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
but I missed her anyway.
Anyway, Julie's tweeted, please say thank you to all the team at RAP Office Contracts who have worked so hard, and we are here to help any office that needs any work done by your listeners. Happy Tuesday.
Maybe she was working hard yesterday.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she'll tweet in a minute with her excuses as to why.
Julie, that was a really ingenious one,
Julie. They're still waiting for you. You're late. Cool. Right, you can do another email now then,
Jo. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, Love Is Boutique announces charity fundraising fashion event. The charity Child's Eye Foundation are joining forces with Love Is Boutique, the designer and vintage dress agency in the heart of Tunbridge Wells. On Tuesday, the 27th of September at 7:30, a selection of Love Is Boutique clients have agreed to take to the catwalk at the High Rocks in Tunbridge Wells to demonstrate how to look fabulous in a hand-picked range of clothes and accessories. Child's Eye Foundation was set up by Lucy Buck of Rotherfield with the support of her mother Hazel to find families for Uganda's neglected and abandoned babies. So the money raised by the fashion show will help more abandoned babies grow up with parents. That's really cool, isn't it? They have found loving families for 80 babies so far who've been deserted on the streets of Kampala. That's very nice, isn't it? So it's Tuesday the 27th of September at 7:30. There's no link here to find out more, so I would suggest Googling it, or have you got a link on the website?
I will find a link and put it on the website later on.
Child's Eye Foundation with a letter I. Child's Eye Foundation.
Yeah, that was a bit confusing as well. Mm. I couldn't find a link for it, but I will find one. Mm. And as with everything you hear on the Business Bunker, there will be a link, as far as we can find one, either to website, Facebook pages, email addresses or phone numbers, will be on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website as soon as we can find a link for that. Mm. But in the meantime, if anybody wants to follow up on that and find out any more about it, they can always contact me and I will put you in contact with the people that sent me the email. Sure. It's interesting talking about Uganda because if you remember David Philpott, mm-hmm. who was on the show a few months ago, the chair of the Kent IOD, he led a delegation to Uganda in the summer, and in fact he's coming back on the show in a couple of weeks' time because he's organising another one. So
I wonder if they're in touch. They should be.
Why I was thinking it might be worth putting them together
with David Philpott. Yeah, the IOD.
Absolutely. It might be worth putting them together and seeing. I've got a gazillion tweets now. They're coming in thick and fast. You targeting. We're listening, guys. Enjoying the show. Thank you, Piperus. I ought to mention as well that the sponsor of today's show is Sevilla EU. Mm-hmm. And Sevilla have villas in Valencia in Spain. Is that Valencia?
Valencia. Yes,
Valencia,
Spanish,
in Spain, and they've got some last-minute holiday deals for Bunker listeners. If you want a discount on a villa holiday in Spain at the last minute, check out their website, which is cvilla.eu, and for Bunker listeners, there's a special discount.
C as in ocean, C.
Yeah, SEAVILLA.EU, Sevilla. And thank you to them for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's really brilliant, and we really appreciate that. Got some other tweets. Echo Media, catching the show. Good luck to Vanilla Web, Joe Dodds and all the guests on the Business Bunker. Have a good show and we'll listen to some a bit later because I've got a meeting.
Your meeting's arranged at better times.
I know. What's the matter with these people? They should fit their diet around us, really, shouldn't they? It is the beauty of being able to listen again, though, because you can,
true.
You know, it's one of those neat things these days. Mm-hmm. Right, Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes.
There was a bit of silence there.
There was. Well, the trouble is, the problem with it is...
You can't read and speak at the same time, can you, listener?
No, I can chew gum and talk and walk. No, the problem is people tweet you, mm-hmm. and I start reading it, and I think that doesn't make sense.
No.
And then I have to backtrack and think, well, if I read that out, I'm going to get into big trouble until I understand what it is they've tweeted.
Yes.
And then one of the problems is when people tweet me, somebody else will answer the question. So they start this conversation that then includes me, but halfway through the conversation. And I start to read it out and I think, this doesn't make any sense, so I have to backtrack. But that's not the case with Sally's. I was just being pausey.
Yeah. We had a producer, you see, they'd do all the reading and they'd just pass it to you, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. I ought to have someone that was reading them for me, really.
Actually, we could advertise with just a tweet reader. A tweet reader, communicator.
If you remember, Stu, my youngest, used to do assistant production stuff.
He was pretty good, yeah.
But now he's a megastar. He's in...
Well, don't worry, little Dodie's here next week. She can read now. It's fine. She'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
Her reading's pretty good, but I'm not sure it's that good for Twitter, but hey.
No, it's perfect for Twitter. A six-year-old and Twitter is perfect, isn't it? Absolutely. It just goes together.
And she will be six next Tuesday.
Exactly.
Next Tuesday. Oh, there's a phone.
There's a phone. I wonder if it's for us. Anyway, let me just read Sally's tweet anyway.
Yeah. We're off to
a Sally for Cakes is very pleased to announce she will be joining forces with Catering for Kent to offer cake decorating classes from September.
Wow, brilliant.
Okay, right. I think we've got a call. Yeah, okie doke. Let's see who we've got. Hi, you're on the Business Bunker.
Hola, soy amigo.
It's you, hola. Julesy. How are you?
Well, it's very, 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 very hot.
No, it isn't. You're back in England.
No, it's not. You're back in England. We saw the tweet.
Oh, I'm not back till tonight. That was a lie.
Ah, right.
Ah. So we're safe then.
So you're still in Valencia.
We're safe with our guest.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
I'm perched on my balcony. I can see the sea. I've just
right, cut her off.
16-year-olds into the villa, and we're leaving them for a week on their own.
Brave. That is very brave.
And the nightclubs here, they don't start going in the Spanish till 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
And so we're just going down to the beach for a paella and a last margarita, and then on the plane at 5.
Right.
She'd only been on here half a second, and she got the mention of food and drink.
I know, but what's going on here, Joe, is that Jules is trying to make us all jealous. Mm. What she doesn't know is what we've got in this studio,
no,
does she?
Exactly, no.
Oh, have you got Tay Wells?
No. Even better for you, Jules, we've got Fraser Thompson of Chapel Down Wine here.
Oh,
and
no.
There's red, there's
bubbly.
White, there's bubbly, there's beer, there's lager, there's everything. There's tons of it. And in Joe's...
For once, I've actually managed to be here with something that I can actually consume.
I hope you've got a show for Joe.
I have. Paul picked me up. I'm not silly.
As long as it's not Little Dodsy.
No. We don't want to sort of, you know, corrupt her this week. That'll be next week. We'll have cake.
Have you had a nice holiday?
Fantastic. I left my brain on the plane. And really, it's been 38 degrees, so it's beach, pool, and not much else, sitting under the lemon tree, you know, throwing a few prawns on the plancha, which is like a hot plate that they have out here, and not a lot really, just really chilling, fantastic.
Have I mentioned how much I hate you?
Yeah, frequently.
Oh, right, good. I just wanted to re-emphasise that.
But I've been plugging Business Bunker in Spain mercilessly.
Have you?
Everyone I meet. Yeah.
Are we going to do a Spanish version?
Yeah, we could. I've brought you back a Costa Blanca news, the business pages, so we'll read that out on the next show.
You promised me a sombrero and a donkey.
The trouble is with EasyJet that I've only got hand luggage because that's all I bring. And being a cheapskate, and literally all you wear out here is a bikini and a sarong anyway all week.
Oh, don't start that, Jules.
Too much information.
Yeah.
And, so sombrero might be a bit difficult. I will try, but I've got a huge one here, absolutely huge sombrero.
Well, it's fine, just wear it on the plane on the way home. That's what my mother-in-law did once when we came back from a wedding, and she wasn't allowed a handbag and a hat box. She put a handbag in the box and wore the hat.
I can get away with it, but they're very sniffy, you know. They make you shove your handbag, as you quite rightly said, into your little hand luggage, so everything gets squashed.
That's right. And then just wear the sombrero. Not a problem. The donkey might be more of an issue, admittedly.
Huh. I think Mr. Andrews might have to come out here and get it himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm most jealous about Fraser and the Chapel Down Wine. Is he actually in the studio?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's here.
Hello,
Jules. Hello, Fraser.
How are you?
I'm still trying to get him to do a wine tasting at Lenley's. So, Paul, tell him that Lenley's is not Italian. It is everything.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell him that, Jules.
It's only the name that's Italian.
Oh, right, okay.
Tell him about the duck.
Huh?
Tell him about the confit of duck with avec jus.
Oh,
here
we go.
He can hear you, you know.
Yeah.
He is.
This is one of Jules' major fantasies, to ring from Spain and talk about food.
What did he say?
Nah, we're not telling you.
He might be able to hear you, but he's not switching him on.
Well, you'll have a lovely, lovely time. How is the weather in the UK?
Oh, it's beautiful. 37 degrees.
It's 37 at least here. We're all sat here in our micro speedos.
Bikinis and sarongs as well, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from the rain.
I'm going to slope off and sit under my lemon tree now for my last paella before I come home.
Oh, sweetheart, enjoy the rest of your holiday today. Have a safe flight back, and we'll see you back on the show soon.
See you soon.
Yeah, take care, bunker listener.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
See you, Jules. Bye. Oh, Jules phoning from Valencia now.
And that was without even knowing that there was wine on the agenda.
No, she looked it up on the, yeah, she'd seen it.
She's seen the tweet.
She'd seen it, yeah.
Exactly.
That was a bit, the sound quality on that was a bit low. I apologise for that, listeners.
She was phoning from Spain.
It was a long way to project her voice, yeah. So did I do the Sally tweet? I'm going to do that
you
again.
You are halfway through it.
Yeah. I was kind of halfway through it.
Cake making,
yeah. Sally for Cakes, which is Sally Laker's Twitter handle, will be joining forces with Catering for Kent, which I believe is Hilda Marie Smith, to offer cake decorating classes from September onwards. Both Sally for Cakes and Catering for Kent websites are on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, so you can check up with that and find out some more. But do you know what I think we're going to have to do now?
What?
A bit of tunage.
Ah, tunage, yeah.
I think we'll have a bit of tunage. Play a bit of Queen I'm going to play.
I was going to say, it's not like the Spain songs or anything, is it?
I could have done. If I'd have known Jules was going to ring, I could have done, you know, something like, you know, I don't know.
I can't remember what the Spain holiday thing is.
No,
Viva España, that would be.
Viva España, we could have done some of that. But no, I'm going
to... Viva España.
Oh, you're going to sing now, sorry. Now I'm going to play a bit of Queen, and while that's playing, we're going to set up our first guest.
Excellent.
Do you reckon? Is that a plan?
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Somebody, 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 somebody.
the Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back, bit of Queen, somebody to love. Hopefully we've got our first guest on the phone, Kate Lawson of Element Law. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, brilliant. I'm having a bit of trouble with the phone link in terms of it's quite quiet. And
okay.
I've got it turned up full blast, so I can't go anymore. If you could shout a little bit louder,
okay,
that would be brilliant.
Shout.
That's fantastic, thank you. So, Kate, tell us a little bit about you and about Element Law.
Well, I'm a specialist employment lawyer of 11 years experience. I trained at Clarkson Wright and Jakes in Orpington, so all Kent. I was then 4 years at Cripps Harris Hall in Tunbridge Wells, and then for my sins did 4 years in the city at Thomas Mansfield, and joined Element Law in July 2011, so I've been there a year.
Ah, happy birthday.
The firm's been going about 3 or 4 years now. It was founded by somebody I worked with previously at Cripps Harris Hall. And our clients are SMEs. We have clients ranging from 5-person IT consultancies to 150-plus employee transport companies. We act a lot for charities, from the National Charity Girl Guiding to local community care and community transport charities.
So it's a broad range of clients that you deal with.
Exactly, a huge range of clients, quite a few professional partnerships as well.
And is the whole practice specialising in the employment side?
That's right, absolutely. We are pure employment law specialists. So yes, we don't do any other area of law. We're Element Law because we consider the key element of any business is its staff, and that's what we do. So yes, it's pure employment law.
I should let you know, Kate, that my erstwhile co-presenter here, Joe Dodds,
is
a former HR manager of Staples.
Yes. He has an HR bent, indeed.
Yeah.
Always interesting.
I'm in a cold sweat at the moment. I thought I'd left this all behind me years ago.
Memories.
Her twitch has come back.
Yes, it's always a difficult area to negotiate. I mean, I don't just do the sort of legal side. I also look at mediation, workplace mediation.
Right.
And I'm very passionate about sorting things out in the workplace. Workplace mediation is a real solution for employers and employees to avoid expense and trauma of litigation. To bring a mediator in at an early stage and a problem, I think, is a fantastic idea, and I don't know why more businesses don't do it. I don't know why more lawyers don't encourage it. But it is a fantastic solution, and is something that should be looked at by more business to avoid the nightmare.
I think definitely where you have businesses where you have less trained staff to deal with it as well. If you have smaller businesses without HR people, that's a really great service to be offering. I always used to say that if you treated people fairly and followed the processes, and they knew that you were doing that, they were quite happy with. You know, they weren't happy with what you did in the end, you know, if it involved them losing their jobs and stuff, but they understood they'd been treated fairly and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, the communication's good and they're treated with dignity and respect. I think that goes a long way.
Exactly. And I think when you're involved in it as a line manager, it's often hard to have that sort of attitude because there's an emotional tie to the situation, isn't there? So to have somebody to take that emotion out of it.
That's right.
Can be really helpful.
I mean, a lot of the time mediation is about letting people get things off their chest. And we quite often find that when we get to the nitty-gritty, there's not a lot to sort out once people feel they've been heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they sort of set some sort of ground rules. And it's a matter of then, particularly in SMEs, you know, you can't move people around. You can't lose them, if you like. If there's a relationship problem between two colleagues, it's not easy in a small business to separate them. And you have to deal with it, because quite often you may find both individuals are key or important to the organisation for whatever reason. You want to keep them both on side, but it's a matter of finding a way that works and a relationship solution.
Absolutely. I'm kind of you're fading away a bit there again,
sorry.
Kate. So I need you to keep shouting. Sorry
about
that.
We've got into chat mode, haven't we?
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, there's been a lot of talk just very recently about changing some of the industrial tribunal laws at last.
That's right. I mean, there's quite a lot on the go, actually, at the moment, in terms of a bit of an about turn, obviously due to change in government, I'd say. But whereas we had sort of an influx of things you mustn't do and law over a period of the last 5-6 years that increased the number of tribunal claims, we're now looking at laws that are going to decrease the number of tribunal claims. Mm. And one of the things the government's actually bringing in 2013 is fees for lodging tribunal claims to be paid by claimants and fees for hearings. And we're looking at fees from for a hearing of up to £950. So, you know, that's potentially serious money for somebody to then have to commit before they can really have their case heard.
Sure.
With a view to effectively stamping out weak claims.
Yeah.
And try on claims, frankly.
Absolutely. I mean, do you think, I mean, I've got a couple of takes on that myself from my own experiences as a businessman. When I first started in business many, many years ago, I was taken to an employment tribunal. And bizarrely, because it doesn't happen very often, I actually won my case.
But
as an employer, it did me not the slightest bit of good.
No.
Because I still incurred all the costs, all the time, and everything else. And the plaintiff had no, you know, no downside to their claim at all, apart from the fact they didn't get it.
No.
Bizarrely, I don't know why, my second, I'm not a bad employer, I have to tell you, but my second employment tribunal, I also won because they found the person was a vexatious litigant.
Right. I mean, this is the issue. This is what we're trying to stop. You know, these very weak claims or these people, you know, there are a lot of genuinely badly treated employees who bring claims, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And they should be allowed that hearing and that opportunity, absolutely.
Mm.
But there are vexatious litigants. There are, you know, people who are just literally trying to frighten their ex-employer into settlement.
Absolutely.
And they've actually got no real grounds for a claim, and that's what these fees will hopefully control. I mean, if the claimant wins, the tribunal can order that the employer repays the fees.
Yeah, absolutely. I would expect
the tribunal fee, so that's fair enough.
Mm.
But obviously it does mean that the employees will not be saying, oh, might as well give it a go, I've got nothing to lose,
sure.
Because potentially they could lose up to, by the time they've paid their issue fee and their hearing fee over £1,000. So,
yeah. So and that's serious money for someone to bring a case.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask a question about that? Mm. I was thinking the other day, the first tribunal I actually had to go to and represent our company, which I generally didn't do. I got people like you in to do it. But I went to a sort of low-cost operator where we weren't allowed to do that. We lost the case on procedure, which we knew we were going to because we hadn't quite done things as we should have done. But the reason that they were there in the first place meant that the court didn't give them any, the tribunal didn't give them anything because they were absolutely completely in the wrong. We just, you know, hadn't ticked a box or whatever, you know, the usual didn't follow the procedure. How would that work with the new system? So they paid money to go. We did lose, but they didn't give them anything as part of their claim.
It's not clear. What they've actually at the moment just said is the tribunal has the power to reimburse, if you like, or to make the employer reimburse the fee. So I'm assuming they'll look sensibly, frankly,
depending on the circumstance. Yeah, and in that case, I think the tribunal were really exasperated with the claimant, so I think they wouldn't have made us pay it at that stage.
No,
anyway,
I don't believe they would, actually.
No,
I don't
exactly.
believe they would, because they, you know, they would have seen that.
Yes.
You know, you obviously had a point.
Yes, yes.
I mean, for actually taking the action against the individual. And it's not uncommon for awards to be reduced by up to 100% because there's been contributory conduct, which, I mean, basically, okay, even if you'd gone through the process, it would have made no difference to the outcome.
Yeah, this was somebody who wanted to go on holiday to Lithuania where they came from, a lot of our staff came from there, and we said no, and so she went anyway and then didn't come back, so we then terminated her, but obviously didn't quite follow the procedure properly. So they actually were like, exactly that, you know, why did you think this was an acceptable thing to do? But
right.
of course we hadn't followed that procedure, so yeah, right. as you say, if it's that way round, then the tribunal can be more.
Okay, I mean, talking about such things, as with all things like this, we need to strike a balance of fairness to both parties. Do you think that if, because a lot of these things are only being talked about still, they're not actually in law yet, If they do implement something like this, do you think that will mean that there will be a lot more mediation that happens rather than litigation?
Potentially. Sadly, there is a system of judicial mediation which the tribunals have the power to.
Is that the ACAS thing?
It's not actually. The ACAS can get involved in more in the sort of negotiation side, and if they have got the resources in terms of personnel, yes, they may agree to get involved in mediation itself. But once a tribunal has actually been lodged, the tribunals themselves often will order mediation, and that happens in the tribunal offices with the tribunal judge effectively as the mediator.
Right.
And that's been a very good process. But one of the, I consider, the downsides of this new fee system is that they're going to charge a fee for that, £600.
Oh, really?
For the judicial mediation, which seems odd when we're actually trying to reduce the number of claims.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably going to be negatively affected. I suppose, I would hope that it should mean that people will consider private mediation.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is there going to be an emphasis on that being, you know, a good practice before you even get that far?
There is some emphasis on it. Mm. We had new law brought in a couple of years ago, and we hoped, well, we being employment lawyers who are pro-mediation, mm-hmm. Not scared of how it might affect our pockets, we were hoping that the government would take a bit more of a stronger stand in almost requiring some sort of mediation or mediation attempt or at least real consideration for parties who are allowed to go to tribunal, which is what happens with family law.
Yeah.
But unfortunately they didn't. All they've put in is a recommendation that it's considered, and the tribunal has the power to take into account whether mediation was attempted when looking at the fairness of the process and making their decision.
Mm.
But it's not really gone very far.
That's interesting. You'd have thought it would have done from when the law changed all that time ago to expecting people to raise grievances and appeal and all that sort of thing, to have gone through that process before they went to tribunal. You think the next step on would be exactly this?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, when they got rid of the requirement to go through a grievance process before going to tribunal, for example, on constructive, we thought they'd replace it with something on mediation, but they didn't, sadly.
Mm.
But I do hope that, you know, possibly if employees believe they've got more to lose financially and they've got something to lose financially in going to a tribunal, they'll be more willing to consider the mediation option.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. I really do hope so.
I guess there's lobbying probably that you sort of alluded to, but I guess as a solicitor you wouldn't want to necessarily get too involved in a discussion. Lobbying from powers that be who, as you say, will lose money from a change in the way that things happen, which might, you know, the decisions are always balanced, aren't they, as affects how it's going to affect all the business people as well, whether that be solicitors or actual employees.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting, just as an entrepreneur and spotting a gap in the market with things like that. One of the things that interests me, because I run mostly digital businesses, one of the things we've got is a system called ICANN, in which you can register with ICANN for dispute resolution, and they're a body that will resolve disputes on the internet, like over naming rights and things like that. And that's a really interesting setup because it has no legal standing whatsoever.
No.
But as long as both parties agree to be bound by its outcome, and they have to deposit a deposit, so that if they, you know, if they're found against and then they go, well, I'm not taking any notice of that, they lose the deposit.
Right.
At least. And it works really well, you know, because it stops a lot of overly expensive litigation in a lot of disputes that can just be solved by an independent person going, no, don't be silly, be sensible about this, you can't call yourself Microsoft.
Yeah.
I think the difficulty in applying that in this case, though, I don't know if you agree, Kate, is that whole imbalance of the money situation.
Yeah, sure.
That companies could put a certain amount in and not necessarily feel obliged because it wasn't much money compared to the employee or ex-employee.
Yeah.
He hasn't got very much money to put into it in the first place.
True.
And there's more of a balance when it's business against business, isn't it?
True. But moving on very quickly, Kate, to other things.
Yeah. Silly business idea, Paul. Let's
No. I still think there's a business opportunity there for the lawyers.
I think it's a very interesting opportunity, actually.
You know, not necessarily doing that, but, you know, having a mediation service.
He'll expect commission, Kate.
Yeah, almost, yeah. Almost an arbitration.
Exactly. Yeah,
service,
exactly.
But
yeah,
it can go a bit further, really. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Now he's pulling faces at me.
She was trying to rubbish my
no,
ideas, Kate. Ignore her, she's silly. I want to briefly ask you, because we've talked an awful lot about tribunals, and of course your work isn't just tribunal-based stuff.
No, it's not.
You know, from a small business point of view, would you like to give our listener some kind of tips and guidance on the kind of things that small businesses get wrong, don't do, or need to pay attention to, if you see what I mean? So what are your top two or three things that small businesses really need to focus on?
I find particularly small businesses don't deal very well with sickness absences and that sort of thing. Mm. Sickness absence, persistent short-term absences is a real problem in a lot of businesses. You know, they most small employers are quite sort of nervous to deal with those in any rigorous way. So things like return to work interviews and insistence on telephoning your manager, not leaving a message, not emailing if you're going to be out the office is quite a strong disincentive to malinger in any shape or form. Mm. And then to face your manager the next day at a return to work interview. So I think, you know, a lot of problems with persistent short-term absences, which are obviously hugely can be very crippling to small businesses, could be solved by being sort of hotter on the reporting processes without it being terrible and awkward, but just really making them speak to an individual and having return to work interviews.
Can I just jump in there as well? I think for those businesses, if they have procedures that make that something that's a routine, it's much easier for them to do that, as you say, because the issue is people get embarrassed, don't
they? That's right. Oh, yes, everybody must do it. That's the end of it. I mean, obviously, the problem often is the managers are too busy.
Or too scared.
But I think it's worth doing, and it's worth making the time for. And yes, yeah. If you do it every time, there's no, it's not personal.
No,
that's
exactly.
What it is. That's what it is. Mm. Another issue is often within small businesses performance. Again, you know, doing the appraisals, it's not just a tick box exercise. It is important if you're going to have to performance manage an individual at a later stage. I have a lot of small employers who come to me and say, this person's no good, I want to get rid of them tomorrow, but in fact they've been underperforming for 3 years and they've got no idea. Mm. So it's a matter of drawing it to attention and documenting it all the way along. Yeah. Starting out to improve them, please do that. Start out to improve them. Obviously there may come a point when clearly it's not working and we have to look at other options. And the third thing that I'm obviously seeing at the moment is retirement issues. The whole awkward situation of not being able to retire older employees and therefore having to potentially dismiss for other reasons, which could be quite humiliating. Mm. But I think that is all going to be a matter of really planning your workforce, looking at what you need, at what stage, and being acute on performance issues with older staff as well, sadly. From an early stage.
What's interesting from those cases that a lot of my career was in big companies and we had all those issues. I don't think, you know, we sort of think small businesses must be really hard to do some of these things, but in bigger businesses, managers still have the same sort of concerns and issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a manager dealing with their direct
people,
reports,
isn't it?
And therefore it's still very personal.
Although when
we have a bit more support because you've got HR, it's not just you doing it sort of on your own completely, but yes, of course, it's still hard. You're still having to have the difficult conversations and all of that sort of thing.
We used to have the performance issues and then they'd turn up with a whole host of appraisals that said they were brilliant for the last
year.
So it was even worse.
That's the classic, yeah.
Kate, we could talk about this for many hours. Unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time.
Fair enough.
It's been brilliant to hear from you. Would you like to give us a shout for both your website and your newly acquired Twitter handle? and we'll generate you some followers, at least.
Yes, please. Just give me the shout now.
Yes, please.
So our website is www.elementlaw.co.uk. And the very newly acquired Twitter handle is @elementlaw.
Brilliant.
And yes, I'd love to hear from anybody.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the Business Bunker.
That's a pleasure.
We will put the links that you've given us onto our website.
Fantastic.
So people can follow up if they need to follow up with you.
Wonderful.
But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been great, and have a good day.
And you. Enjoy your wine with Fraser Thompson.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all looking forward to this now.
I was settled down in busy, so enjoy.
Thank you.
Cheers, Kate. Right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Kate Lawson there of Element Law. And you can follow Kate on Twitter @ElementLaw, or you can look at their website on www.elementlaw.co.uk. Fantastic. I've got a gazillion tweets piling up here. Starting off with Simon Jordan.
Oh,
yeah.
Simon Jordan.
Listening in and loving the show, guys. See you all later. Yes, you will indeed. Berlanes. Please shout out for Berlanes Interiors, kitchens, bathrooms, made in the UK, now open at berlanes.com. And that's Burlanes, berlanes.com. So give them a look. Kitchens, bathrooms, all manufactured in the UK. No, I can't read that. Apparently she's Russian. That's about the only bit in there that was worth reading. Made in Kent, we're listening in, Vanilla Web and Joe Dodds on the Business Bunker, call in, yep, thank you Mark. Aura Tech Limited of Broadstairs, glad to be listening live again. Missed the last couple of shows, but it's all going well. Huh?
Who's that? Does it say? Oh, no, it doesn't say
no
that.
But I should imagine it's Daniel. Daniel Lewis, probably.
Mm-hmm. Shall I read an email? I should keep pausing.
Coming through. Yeah. Oh dear. Somebody's criticising my choice of music now. Piperus Philippaeus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you targeting.
Yeah.
Still looking for somebody to love. What, you?
Yeah.
Thank you, Pip. I'll get you back.
I don't think it's criticising. I think it was just, you know,
pointing out.
Observing.
Pointing out a ridiculous fact, possibly. Yes. But it's going to get him in trouble.
Yes, but if there are any single women out there.
Don't start. I've got an email as well from following on from last week. I did a big up last week to the guys installing a new shower toilet in my swimming pool complex. Yeah.
What, your swimming pool?
Yeah, at home. They started work last Tuesday, and I had the radio on.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
However big your house is, you probably can't call it a complex. I think you're probably slightly
overselling
it,
aren't
you?
Yeah. No, I've got a complex about it. It's just a pool house. They're installing
the Olympic pool or something.
They're just installing a shower. Anyway, they were doing it last week, and I gave them a bit of a shout out, you know, hoping to get a bit of discount or something. Two things have happened. One, they were actually listening because somebody emailed me to tell me, and I said I'd read it out because I didn't see it until after the show.
Yeah.
They were actually, just to let you know, Steve Alfrey and the guys from Tenterton Plumbing and Heating are all in JBS Tenterton, Johnson's Building Supplies, having a cup of tea.
What?
Yeah. And I haven't seen them since either. They've not been back. So, anyway, they're good
guys.
Could
have been worse. I could have said they're all in your swimming pool.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I thought not big enough for them.
Well, that's what happened. That's what I thought. Because it was a blisteringly hot day last Tuesday.
Yeah.
I said, "Get out of the swimming pool and get on. I'm watching you. I've got CCTV." And then they emailed me, "No, you haven't, because they're not there. They're all in Johnson's Building Supplies." Yeah.
But did they do the work to your satisfaction?
I'm seen them since.
Oh, okay.
They're plumbers, for goodness sake. They're not going to be finished till next summer.
Just ignore him, guys. Okay,
yeah.
He's being rude.
So come on, Steve and the guys, Tenterton Heat and Plumbing. You're good guys. Finish the job.
Right, shall I read one out?
Yeah, go on.
I'll just stop you doing that. Fruitworks Create Startups, a free seminar for people wishing to start their own business, is on August the 4th in Canterbury from 10 till 4 at Fruitworks. And the speakers are Susanna Schofield and Sarah Rabbit from Best in Glass, friends of the show.
Yep.
Susan Williams from Vision On Consultancy, also friends of the show. They came on, didn't they, when I was here last? And Oliver Musto Playfair, a serial entrepreneur.
Mm.
Does that mean he does things with complex?
Yeah, I'm going to get grief over this now. No, well, I'm going to ignore you completely and talk about Ollie. Ollie was one of the founders of Derrimores.
Oh.
Do you know Derrimores?
No.
Derrimores were the knitting site on the internet.
Oh, wow. A knitting site, really big, isn't it, on the internet?
You say that. Massive.
Oh, I know. I wasn't being sarcastic.
Yeah,
it really is.
Massive. They've just sold out to some big conglomerate.
Wow.
Complex. but they online knitting wool patterns, needles, stuff like that. Massive, yeah. massive.
Yeah. So what's he doing now then?
He's started a new venture, which is an investment venture, hence why he's talking at our investment event. Yeah.
And there's going to be a dragons panel. Oh, who can I see on there then?
Mm-hmm.
Oliver's going to be on there.
He is.
Howard Kendall, the lovely, marvellous Howard Kendall.
Yep.
And some bloke called Paul Andrews.
Yep.
CEO of JIK Software and Angel Investor. I can't see your wings though.
Nah, they're caught in my halo.
Left your wings at home, eh?
Yeah, no, they got trapped in my halo, and I had to send them to the repair shop.
And Howard is also an angel investor and the CEO of SDI.
Mm.
Oh, Oliver's Playfair is what it's called now, I guess. That's what it's going to say. Oh, no, it's his surname.
That's his surname, you muppet.
Playfair. Okay, well, he didn't put what he was, who he is, what he's doing now. So he's a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Oliver must know Playfair. There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Oliver.
It's going to be a good event, despite what Joe says, so do come along.
And the website is fruitworks.co. Mm-hmm. /create startups.
Yeah.
And I think there's a /@ at the end, otherwise it probably won't work.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Good stuff. Thank you for that. I've got a couple more tweets. We're going to play some more tunage, and then we're going to start opening bottles, I think.
Woohoo! And yes. then I'll get silly.
Yeah. You'll get silly. Blimey, listener.
There is no hope.
We better put someone on standby with this. We better call the lifeguards and the air ambulance, I think. it could get very messy.
That put me in the boot on the way home.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot I was taking you home. Oh, blimey. We've got loads of tweets. Kevin Edmonds, DMS Graphics. Hi, Paul. Couldn't go a week without saying hello. Say hi to everyone that knows us. And for those that don't, they can visit our website. That's DMS Graphics. Gemma Quinnell. Could you give a shout out for the Central YMCA qualification level 2 award in fitness instructing starting on the 26th of September? She's then given me a web address, but it's been shortened by Bitly, so I can't read it. So what I'll do, Gemma, is I'll find out what that web address is and I'll put it on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website so that people can follow up with that. But if you want to do a YMCA qualification level 2 award in fitness, there is a local course starting on the 26th of September.
Sound good.
And Serenity Toner, that's a Twitter handle, by the way, Acela Beauty Clinic, Acela Road, Ashford, now offering luxury peel and heal facial peels.
Peel and heal?
Blimey.
That sounds...
Whoa.
I don't understand what that means. Can you ask them to tweet a bit more about what that means?
Well...
Peel... Oh, heel, H-E-A.
And what you thought they'd do your face and your feet?
Well, I did until you got to the second bit. Then I realised that it wasn't, so I couldn't understand what the
it's
heel...
It's that dermatology stuff, isn't it? Where they take the top layer of your skin off and go, there, look, this,
yeah,
your skin's clear.
Order. Yeah, you'd read it was a facial before you read the bit out, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's in my defence.
Yeah, so Acela Road, Ashford, the Acela Beauty Clinic are offering peel and heal facial peels, and you can text them. Are you ready for this? Got your pens handy? You can text them on 0779-298-4585. I'll do that again. 0779-298-4585. Cool.
Very good.
You all right with that? You're contemplating that still, aren't you?
Yes.
You contemplate having your heels peeled.
No, I understand it now, but I think you said it in a way that made me think it was heels rather than heel. Heels.
You can tell my spelling from how I pronounce words. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes, it was your intonation. That's a posh
one. Do you know what that sounds like, Jo?
It was a very complex intonation. Yeah. Anyway, right. Moving on.
Yeah, I would have followed you. No, go on. I can't get into it now. It's all gone pear-shaped.
Okay, well, I'll read this. Yeah. My name is Ben Leach, and I'm the owner of BLIT Solutions, a Kent-based IT solutions company. I'm also a Kent Invicta Chamber member, and at present we're running an introductory offer to all Chamber members. The offer is of £25 per hour for all services with a qualified engineer with over 15 years experience. Open 7 days a week, 8 in the morning till 9 at night. No call-out fee, no fix, no fee. That sounds cool, doesn't it?
Mm.
So quote reference BLIT01BUS. Sorry, I hesitated because I was going to say bus, and then I thought you'd laugh at me. BLIT01BUS, okay?
Right, okay. Thank you, Jo. That's interesting. I've just got an interesting tweet from someone who was obviously listening to Kate. Mm-hmm. It's from Trish Stretton. And her Twitter handle is People Face to Face. That's face number two face. She's saying, listening to the Business Bunker Show, we can help. Check out peoplefacetoface.co.uk. ILM endorsed. I think, looking at that tweet and reading between the lines, I think they're an arbitration and negotiating service.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. But do check out their website, peoplefacenumber2face.co.uk. And that's from Trish Stratton. Thank you for that, Trish.
Mm-hmm.
I think, do you know what we'll do now?
Play some tunage?
We'll have some tunage. Oh. And then we'll set up our studio guest, Mr. Fraser Thompson of Chapel Down Wines, the English Wines Group.
Set him up in what sort of way?
Huh?
Set him up in what way?
Well,
what are we going to do?
Take all of these goodies
He's
and throw them out, basically. What do you think we normally do?
Well, anyway, let him open them first, though.
Yeah, guess what we got lined up here?
I don't know what.
Bit of Kinks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, bit of Lola. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's good.
In a cup down an old soul home where we drink champagne. It is just that terrible life. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A. Lola from the
Oh,
the Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, July the 31st, with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
That was cool, that music, by the way.
It was. That was the live version of Lola by the Kinks. Brilliant, eh? Well, it's an absolute pleasure to introduce now our studio guest, Mr. Fraser Thompson, English Wines Group, or better known as Chapel Down Wine. Fraser, fantastic to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
And, also, we've got joining us in the studio, Ruth from the Bistro at Haglands, who has kindly chilled all the wine and beer for us.
And brought glasses.
And
come to taste it. Because
and bottle openers and come to do the tasting. Yeah. So, I tell you what, Fraser, just give us a quick introduction to you and what you do, as if people didn't know already, and then we'll get stuck in, I think.
Well, very, very simply, we make wine from grapes grown in England,
right.
And we make them up the road in Tenterden, and I think we do it rather well.
Mm.
Being a sort of company that doesn't like sitting on a one-legged stool, we also have a fairly substantial tourism business. We get about 50,000 visitors a year
coming
to visit us in Tenterden, so we have a nice restaurant there and a shop and what have you. But we spend most of our time selling Chapel Down wines to top-end restaurants, bars and hotels, so from Jamie Oliver through to Gordon Ramsay and all the rest of them, and we export, as well as selling them to the larger supermarket chains, including obviously Majestic and Waitrose and Tesco's and what have you. So we're growing like fury, which is great. A bit frustratingly, we can't make the grapes grow any faster, so we launched a beer. That doesn't work, I've tried it. They seem to like it, though. So that's why we launched the beer,
right.
And staggeringly, with the lager, the Curious Brew, has just been awarded gold medal for that, and so that's gone bananas. So that's good news as well.
Absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Just to be clear, it's not made out of bananas, is it?
No, it doesn't even taste of it.
Oh,
no banana-y note.
Because there's the ad on TV at the moment, isn't it, for Shepherd Neame that have got that. Some guy that says he's got a pint of beer there, and he says something random, say some Volkswagens and rhubarb or something.
I will go live and say that actually a lot of wine and beer tasting is about autosuggestion.
Mm.
If I say grapefruit, I guarantee you'll taste grapefruit. If I say elderflower, you'll taste that.
So
there's a huge amount of autosuggestion, but it's the conviction with which you say it, which is, and the number of people who say the same thing that actually makes the difference.
But you have won so many awards for your wine and sparkling wines that are not allowed to be called champagne and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now you started producing beer and you go and win awards for that. What is it in water and taste?
It's not just about entering lots of awards to win it, I have to say. We entered the sparkling wine, and that's been going on now for about 6 or 7 years that we've been winning international gold medals.
Mm.
And, you know, being the best wine in England's lovely,
mm.
But that doesn't really mean very much to most consumers, not as much anyway as winning a gold medal internationally, where you're pitting yourself against the rest of the world. So the beer thing is genuinely extraordinary. We don't actually enter that many awards, strange though it may seem, but we enter ones we think we can win.
Mm.
And we entered the lager because, you know, my background is brewing. I was the former global brand director for Heineken in Amsterdam, so I had a proper job for a few years before this. And
still involved beer, though.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and before that, I was 11 years at Whitbread.
The way you normally term that is I've had a drink problem for a long time.
I've seen a few people who have. Before that, 11 years with Whitbread, so
I brought
the world Boddington's and the Widget and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So my pedigree is pretty beery. So I knew this was a good beer. Mm. Well, firstly, it's my recipe, so it would be.
Mm.
But also, I genuinely was getting such good feedback that we thought it might be worth entering into an award.
Mm.
And, well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was going to say something else there, but stopped myself just in time. And we won the gold medal.
Right.
It was, I was genuinely gobsmacked.
Right.
Yeah, it's fantastic news.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic news for Chapel Down, fantastic news for Tenterden, fantastic news for Kent.
But it's interesting, you see, it's also a different business model, and I never realised just how quite different beer and wine was. I mean, when I first arrived here from Heineken, and they came to repossess the photocopier on day three. That didn't happen at Heineken in Amsterdam. It just never once happened. And, you know, but it's cash flow. Yeah. And actually, as a business, beer is just fantastic compared to wine. Because we're looking at a bottle of the Pinot Noir Chardonnay. Now, that's it takes me 3 years to plant a vine, wait 3 years, and then you get a grape. Right. And of course, getting a grape is only halfway of the journey. So once you've made the grape, you've then got to put it in an expensive bottle. You've then got to turn it into lots of manual handling, and eventually you can sell it 6 years later. So beer, turn the tap on, 8 weeks later, you've got some more beer. And it's such a wonderful cash flow business. So for us, it's a complementary business for what we're doing.
And they do your own hops? Sorry.
No, we don't. There is definitely... I was asked there, do we grow our own hops? No, we don't grow our own hops. We are starting a project to try and introduce very aromatic hops in the UK. What British hops or English hops, particularly Kentish hops, are very good at doing is ale style hops. But they're not full of the aromatics that we really need now in the modern beers that are really gaining some traction. So I'd love to see more of that. And we're going to have a go at doing some hops. We work with Chris Nicholas at Sandhurst, who also grows grapes. And so we're going to do some interesting stuff with hops as well.
At the moment, Fraser, where are the big hop growing places these days?
Worldwide,
yeah.
Oregon, Washington State over in the States. Right. There's still a lot in Czechoslovakia, a lot in Germany, southern Bavaria. Right. But there, and New Zealand is, typically, of course, we're tending to follow New Zealand in a lot of things. The wine is a classic example. You know, where was New Zealand wine 20 years ago? You'd never drunk any, I bet. And we're following that model. You know, New Zealand wines is, and the hops they're growing there are packed with aromatics. It's a little bit warmer over there, so they're able to do it, but there's no reason why a bit of technology we shouldn't be able to catch them up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just to prove how old I am, when I was a kid I lived in Bearsted, and the Oast House on Bearsted Green at that time was still a working Oast House, and they still used to bring hops in a horse and cart. Now, not
in 1863.
Yeah, I'm not quite that old, but they still did do that. And the smell of roasting hops in there was unbelievable when they started the kilns up.
No, it's you see all the architecture everywhere, and it's it is a bit of a blast from the past, really.
Absolutely.
I'd like to ask a question. I've been quite quiet.
Can I just do this? Because I've just got a text. I've just got a text from Steve Albury. The reason I'm not doing your swimming pool is I'm waiting for the tiles. So he was listening. All right, Steve. Sorry about that.
I didn't try and rein him in. My question was, I guess years ago, it was quite a challenge to promote English wine. And when you introduced beer, was it as challenging? Or because you're well known now for wine, it was easier? And because British beer is more common, if you like, it was easier? Or
well 10 years ago it was I can give you some the wine you see there would have been £4.99 at retail, and we'd be selling about 20,000 bottles of it. That wine you see there now is about £24 a bottle, and we'll sell about 150,000 bottles of that.
Wow.
And we can't make enough of it.
Right.
So the transformation in people's perceptions of English wine is wholesale. With beer, we've always had a great reputation with beer, but interestingly, we took a stance that says, look, there's lots of great breweries. There's lots of great little breweries opening in Kent. They're all doing the same thing. They're all doing cask beer. And it's great. We're doing some lovely cask beers. The mantra in our company, though, is something quite different. It's not our job to try and be the best. I mean, I know that sounds a bit counterintuitive, but actually all our energy is focused on doing something that other people can't do. Now, that, in a way, leads us on a journey to being the best. So what we decided to focus on really was the lager. So we wanted to use our winemaking skills and apply those to a sector that was in need of refreshment, if you pardon the pun. So
I bet he's told that one before.
Yeah. I'm just too slick. The lager market, I mean, you know, this is kind of these beers that stink of kind of cardboard and corporate cardboard and have the aroma of market research. That's not what consumers want. So we thought, well, actually, if we added some champagne yeast to the brewing process, so we re-fermented it, and then we added a late hop dosage of a very rare hop from New Zealand, that could make something really interesting. And so it proved to be.
The idea
really is to do something that a brewer can't do credibly. Why could a brewer credibly use winemaking techniques to make his beer? He can't. So that makes our proposition more unique, more distinctive, and enables us to do something that's hard to copy.
Yeah.
And when you're a small business, that's all you can do. You know, you can invest as much as you can to try and be the best, and it's a very laudable objective, but it's unfocused. It's, you know, be the best at what? What you've got to do is you've got to try and build the barriers up that make people think, actually, nobody else can do this.
Yep.
They may not want to do it, but at least you've got a really distinct proposition, and that's absolutely what Curious Brew is all about.
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm really looking forward to tasting it, but I have a feeling I'm going to develop an interest in it.
Really?
An unhealthy interest in it. And after you've just told us the increase in pricing on the old sparkling, I'm now worrying. Am I about to get
She's checking her purse as we speak, listener. She's rifling through, and she's on the back of the sofa and everything. This is getting desperate.
Well, if you become a shareholder, you get a 33% discount.
Do you really?
There's an idea.
Yeah, no, ways to do it.
Just run us through your product range. You know, I know that you've got hundreds and hundreds
not
of things.
Just the ones here.
Yeah.
Well, we make sparkling wine is about 40% of the volume of stuff that we make. Although we make more money with sparkling, but it's a higher cash risk. So we've grubbed up the old varietals of Reichensteiner and Müller-Thurgau and that sort of thing, and we're now replacing them with Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Pinot Meunier, which are the classic champagne grapes. And we're aging them. This is fairly typical, so 2007, 2008, 2009. Those are kind of vintages we're out at the moment. And they are the same as champagne. And
right.
Basically what you see in England when you arrive is chalk cliffs. That's what they've got in champagne. That's what we grow these grapes on. So it's so sparkling wine. We then do still wines, which are typically Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, the two classic grapes again. But we also have Bacchus, which most people will be familiar with around here. That's a very aromatic white wine. Tastes a bit like Sauvignon Blanc. English Rose, which we sell out over the year, and Flint Dry, which is allegedly served at the Royal Wedding. Those sorts of white wines we also do. And we do a few red wines. We like to have a bit of a play as well. A few of your listeners or your listener may have heard of the Malbec that we made. We flew grapes over from Argentina and had a little bit of fun with PR on that. And then we make beer. So we make a lager, a bitter, and a porter, all of which use winemaking techniques. Sure. So,
what's a porter?
Guinness was originally taken from Whitbread, which was Whitbread's Entire, which was a beverage served to the market porters in Covent Garden. So they used to get their refreshment from this rather cheaper beer called Porter, named after them. And so the original porters weren't quite as bitter as Guinness has become. But it's a very creamy drink, and we use vanilla oak in that, which is the one making bit.
And can I ask the boring question that I'm sure everyone wants to know is, how's the weather affected you this year?
Not great, I'll be very honest. We had last year we had a sensational quality of harvest, but we didn't get enough grapes in, given it's 2012, so I can't take on new customers. It's really frustrating, especially now everybody wants to be one. This year has not been great so far, but we're not even halfway through the growing season yet, so there's a lot of time for the weather to perk up, although no sign of that yet. So we'll see. So we're hopeful. I mean, last year, it wasn't a great year in terms of weather, as you probably remember, but it's the best year we've ever produced the quality. I've never known the quality of fruit like it. Absolutely sensational. If you get a chance to try 2011 English wines, it's pretty rare stuff, but it's the best we've ever made. It's just stunning.
Is Vendange later in the UK than it is in France?
Yes, it is, yeah. We tend to pick Vendange. We asked when the Vendange is. The Vendange is the picking of the grapes. And we start around about the last week of September, so about the 26th, 27th of September, typically. We started a bit earlier than that 2 years ago. And then it goes on right the way through October. And again, you know, that's one of those times of year when it's a joy to visit the winery, actually. If you can get a tour while the pressing's going on, that's really interesting. And you start to see the journey of that humble grape to become something as magisterial as this bottle of Pinot Noir Chardonnay.
Oh, he does say it well, doesn't he?
He does. He's a smoothie. We don't know any shadow of a doubt. He can sell. And I'll tell you how well he can sell. As you know, and as the listener knows, I am a dedicated teetotaler. Yeah, in my kitchen I have a wine rack, and there are 8 bottles of wine in that wine rack, and guess where all of them came from?
I can imagine,
yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, can I buy them back since you won't be drinking them?
Yeah,
that's what I need to stop.
Oh, believe me, they go. I mean, the kids drink them and guests drink them. We have a healthy turnover of it, let me tell you. Yeah. cool. Well, shall we do a test? Yeah, get the tops off.
Right. Well, I think we should start with a glass of sparkling since I feel in celebratory mood.
You've got to imagine this, listener. Well, there's peeling back of foil tops and undoing of corks going on. And when we're ready,
so we have been known to do sound effects in the past, but this is real.
We have, yeah,
Here we go now. I haven't shaken this up too much.
That's where it goes all over your trousers.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Look at that.
He's a professional, isn't he? My husband always makes it like go everywhere. He's not very good at that. Opening the bottle without spilling thing.
So, you would be enjoying this now, listeners.
You're the expert. I'm getting Ruth to taste it first. Yeah. She's the expert. She knew the word for grape picking and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, she's smelling it, nosing it.
Yeah. It tastes of.
I'm getting. Pinot Chardonnay 2006. It's had 6 years of bottle age, so it's you should start getting that autolytic quality of the yeasty quality to the grapes coming through, and you can see it's slightly darker in colour, which is generally a little bit of age.
I can see why they say Chapdown is the best of the local sparklings. That is delicious.
Do you like it, ladies?
Mm.
Oh dear. Well, that's the end of the show. Vancouver, thank you for that.
It's like a really silly girly comment as well, though. I really like the bottle as well. I mean, I know you're not supposed to choose your wine based on your bottle, but I'm just thinking.
Oh, I should do. I should imagine an awful lot of people choose their wine by the bottle and the label.
And you go to the shop.
It's the most underrated. I'm going to blow up your industry. It's the most underrated bit of expenditure people will ever spend is on design. People don't spend enough on design. And this country is the best at design in the world by a street mile. You won't get packaging design like you get in this country, and we don't do it well enough, and it's a very small investment, but actually makes a difference. And I see a lot of English wine out there that's trying to look like champagne. Why? Why? This doesn't taste like champagne. It tastes better than champagne. It's got more fruit in it. You want something that's contemporary, something that's going to be attractive. You want something that positions it in the same category as champagne, but different. You just need to think it through.
I can't
believe more people don't do it.
That's what I was saying. You know, when you're buying a present for somebody and you buy them champagne, I suppose you go for names normally or whatever, but this just looks so beautiful. The packaging is, it's got sort of a black label with a red bit along the bottom. It's very, it says England on it. You know it's English. You know it's special from that point of view. And I think the flavour, sometimes with champagne, you're a bit like, it's a bit too sharp, isn't it? But it's just, that wasn't at all. It's really nice, isn't it?
Well, considering you've just drunk 3 pints of it, I'm not surprised.
No, another bit now you've said that.
But it was interesting what you said, tying back to what Fraser was saying earlier. Not many years ago, though, walking into a wine shop or an off-licence or somewhere and seeing a bottle of something that proudly said it was made in England would have put it in, that's going to be cheap.
It's rather sweet. I think most English wine in the past, wasn't it? German wine, but not as good as a German wine.
I think that was the reputation of her being slightly sweet and a bit cloying, a bit sickly. Because, of course, those were the grapes that were planted.
Yeah.
And, in fact, the last 10 years has seen the wholesale transformation of this industry from ripping up those varieties and replanting them with grapes that we know are going to make world-class wine.
Absolutely.
And you'd almost have it knowing you weren't really going to like it, but it was English, so it was good to have
Now, in a very short space of time, especially with...
doesn't feel like that. It's 10 blooming years.
It's a mere blip.
Apparently it was harder work than we're thinking.
Don't believe him. It was Donald. It was stuff a few grapes in the ground, tread on them. Hey, presto, £26 a bottle. What are you worried about? but now, especially with vineyards such as Chapel Down, the reputation now goes before it, and people now would never... look at something and just because it was labelled English go, well, that's got to be rubbish. They're going to know, they're going to get a classy wine if they pick the right thing.
It plays right to the heart of what's going on in Kent. Kent's producing some just sensational food and drink product.
Absolutely.
And it's great to have the support of retailers. I mean, I've just been next door here and all English wine, fantastic. And I think that's a brave thing to do and something almost unimaginable 10 years ago, and now people are doing it, and all that money, all that profit, all that energy, all that, everything gets recircled back in the county. The more we sell, the more I can plant more vineyards, the better the county will be. The more tourism we'll attract, the more great restaurants we'll build, the happier people will be. It's drinking wine, it's just, it's gonna
absolutely be, it's a shame. Right, if Jules had been here, you would have been digging up Rovenden by now.
We have a plan.
I keep looking at the clock because we are fast running out of time, folks. So,
well, come on then, do some more.
Yeah. So, well, I haven't got, you guys have got them. I can't get them. There's a barrier between
you're
me
even
and
interested
the.
You're interested in
just a little beer.
Okay.
Yeah, I really want.
What have we got there, Fraser?
This is the gold medal winning Curious Brew. It's I've had to rescue this from the boot of my car because there isn't any in trade. At the moment. There is some in trade, but you can get it on draft in quite a few pubs as well.
All right. Okay.
Which has been really interesting.
Right.
So Jamie Oliver, for example, he's got it in his places.
Right.
So, different lager. Okay, so you know what lager tastes like?
Yeah,
nothing.
I like
fizzy.
It.
Fizzy. Oh, you like it? Okay. I hate this, though.
No, I suspect I like this because my husband drinks bottled beers quite often, like the bitter type ones. And those are nice, I think.
That's got a very sparkly kind of quality to it, I can see from here.
It looks nice.
Well, I think it's the, I think it's partly the glass. So
Okay.
The bubbles are a little bit finer than you'd get in lager, because the way it's made.
Mm. General lager that you use.
It smells or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Tested it. Is it any good, actually?
You've got a Duff one. That's why it was in the boot of his car.
It tastes to me like the sort of Belgian beers that you get, those sort of bottled beers, as opposed to a normal lager, if you see what I mean.
Yes, well, it's got flavour, I think that's the. But it's not so much flavour that makes you think, well, I can't have another one. Because that would be. That's not really the point.
No, it's overpowering. That's not the point, is it?
You'd be surprised, though. Lots of people are. That brewing thing at the moment is all about just packing as much hops as you can, and that can get quite difficult.
What's the alcohol content of a lager?
4.7.
Right, okay.
So that's, in fact, when I used to work for Heineken, the global number that people would go for is the Czech beer market, because they don't brew to any particular alcohol by volume. They brew because it tastes better at that level. And on average, Czech beers are about 4.6. So they're slightly weaker than the premium lagers, but stronger than the nonsense we tend to drink over here.
Cool.
I think I agree with you about that you'd have more than them. That is reminiscent to me of something like Hoegaarden, which is quite strong, isn't it? And you can really just have about one, and then it's really quite hard to go to the next, even though it tastes nice. Whereas that's got that sort of taste, but it's, as you say, milder, so you could
Hops are in a beer to try and make it more drinkable, so you can
I thought it's really nice. You're right, it's a problem now. I do like it. Where can I buy it again?
you can buy it at, there's nearly 100 pubs now got it on draft, so if you've got a good pub near you and that's genuinely free, then ask them to put it in, and I'm sure they'll put it in. And then lots of shops, and it will be a Majestic from October, so
Brilliant. And what's the difference between the two? You've got gold top and red top.
The red top.
They call it that, do they?
It's called Curious IPA. That's a classic IPA, which again, very
which is
happy
more
to,
bittery.
That's much more powerfully hoppy, but it's we've added a very rare hop in that, and we've balanced three hops to make it. So it's what a winemaker would do with champagne or
so you've got three beers. You've got Curious Brew.
Curious Brew is the lager. Curious IPA is the IPA,
and then
Curious
Porter.
Cool.
Yeah, which is a dark beer.
Cool.
But have we got time for the red as well, or is he going to take that away?
Oh, blimey, I don't know.
Well, the red actually is more about, maybe you want to, auction it or do something like that.
That's
an illegal bottle of wine, so that's
oh, right,
that's
okay.
Quite encouraging. See your eyes sparkle up already. Yeah. Because it's, we're not allowed to call it wine. It's actually a fruit-based alcoholic beverage made from grapes imported from Argentina.
But you couldn't put that on the label, could you?
No, I would say that looks and tastes and smells and is made of Malbec, so I'm kind of tempted to call it Malbec, but of course that's completely illegal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be careful, but I wrote a label there entirely in French, and so you couldn't understand what it was or where it's from. But that's okay, apparently. But to actually say what it is, it falls foul of the EU regulations. So anyway, we made 1,200 bottles of that. We've got about £1.4 million worth of publicity from it, so I'm quite happy.
It says publicity use only on it.
Yes, we're not allowed to sell it.
It's a special bottle, then.
To sell it.
You're not allowed to sell it at all?
No, can't sell it. There was a debate about whether we had to pay duty on it.
Right.
So they'd still get their money anyway. But we're not paying duty on it either.
Mm.
But no, we're not allowed to sell it because it's illegal.
Right.
If curiously, I brought the grapes in from Argentina to Algeria and then shipped the wine in from Algeria as made Malbec from grapes in Argentina, that would have been absolutely fine. But to bring grapes into the EU to make wine out of it is illegal.
Ah, right.
Wow.
Okay.
So let's now you know.
Let's hear it from the EU.
Great. Anyway. Yeah. So but you can't get that, but I'm not allowed to sell it, so I can only give that away to charities and business shows. Bunkers and things like that.
Cool. Okay.
Can you buy the grape juice? Can you buy the grape juice, so to speak? The grape's already juiced. Import it and turn it into wine.
That would be called British wine.
Yeah.
You know a lot about wine, actually. It's slightly alarmed.
Really?
I wasn't expecting this.
We bought on a sub.
Yeah. He thought you were just providing the glasses. Didn't you? Yeah. Ask your questions as well.
That's different. It's British wine and English wine. So
yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, if we imported the grapes into the EU, it's illegal to make grapes from outside the EU in the EU.
Mm. Right.
But it's okay to bring grapes into the bring wine into the EU, of course.
Cool. Good stuff. Look, we could talk about this forever because it's really, really interesting stuff. But Sandy,
but let's stop talking and just drink it instead.
Yeah, I think you guys need to carry on drinking it. Fraser, give us a shout for your website.
It's rather unimaginatively called www.chapeldown.com.
Cool.
And that will take you to everything you need to know about anything from the restaurant to anything you want to know about us. Or
brilliant. And as well as visiting the website and buying the beverages, there's also a restaurant and a visitor centre.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, if you've not done a tour at Chapel Down, well, shame on you. But also, it's a fantastic place to come and eat and have a day out.
Sounds great.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I can thoroughly recommend it. And I also want to say thank you to Ruth for joining us. Ruth from the Bistro at Hagelands, our resident wine interrogator and chiller and provider of glasses. Ruth, give us have you got a website, Ruth?
We have two, actually.
Okay. Give us a quick shout.
We have www.thebistro-kent.co.uk, but we also have www.thegardenofenglandcookschool.co.uk.
Ah, right, okay. Brilliant.
I think we need to get Ruth on as a special guest another time.
We will, yeah.
A really lovely place there and lots to tell us by the sound of it. I didn't know about the cook school bit.
Yeah, to tell the listener, Ruth's Bistro is right next door to our studio, so it's where we get our lunch and our teas and coffees and everything, and we use it as a green room for our guests. Mm-hmm. So, Jo's absolutely right. We'll get Ruth on again at another point.
I asked her to pop in next week because it's little Dodsy's birthday and she's having her party at the bistro. She's having a cookery party with her friends.
Oh, fantastic.
And Ruth is providing her birthday cake. So I thought she could come next week and entice, you know, get little Dodsy all excited about it.
Cool. Yeah, we're looking forward to that next week. We've only got a few minutes left. I've got another zillion tweets. Very quickly, Thanet Dragon Park, listening into the Business Bunker and having a real laugh. Okay.
Was that with us or?
Yeah. I thought I was being serious. Telcare, our friends Telcare. Hello, Business Bunker. Please give us a shout out in the Telcare office. If you're thinking about a new telephone system, we can help. That's Telcare, TELCARE.co.uk. And I can thoroughly recommend those guys as well. They're great telephone systems and all things to do with telecommunications. And they're based over in Medway Estate there. So that's Telcare.co.uk. Have you got any urgent emails?
I have, yeah. I've got the Canterbury tweet up. I thought we'd better do that one, otherwise we'll be in trouble with other presenters.
Right.
Invited the popular Canterbury tweet up on Wednesday the 1st of August. Ken Lloyd of Charisma Design is going to run it this time. It's a fantastic opportunity for all Kent businesses to network, bring plenty of business cards. 1st of August, 10 until noon at the Miller's Arms, 2 Mill Lane, St Radigan's, Canterbury. And that's, as I said, the 1st of August, the Canterbury tweet up. And I had one other, which was at the G Casino. They've got a comedy floor events and book onto comedy floor events and receive a free drink or a free bet voucher with each ticket booked. Dates are Thursday the 2nd of August and Thursday the 6th of September. So they've got top comedians, a full evening of comedy and laughter, and you need to book your ticket to get that deal through Cheryl, S-H-E-R-R-I-L, Cheryl at the G Casino in Thanet.
Fantastic. I just had a tweet that's worth reading out. It says, "Hi, Business Bunker. It's from Orbital Connect, and they say we've got a free Chapel Down wine tasting session at our business social event on the 26th of September. So if you want to go to a Chapel Down wine tasting in Ashford, get along to the Orbital Connect business group, because they're tasting some Chapel Down wines, apparently.
Very cool. I've got one here, but it doesn't say when it is.
All right.
Do you know when that is, the brown bucket one?
No.
Oh, well, that's, all right, do it unless they put it on there.
We'll do it next week. I've got one here. Funny, cool or interesting image competition. Please post your images on our wall. The best image will be printed on a mouse mat or mug for you to keep. The choice is yours. Can be anything you like. A picture you took or something amusing you found. Come on, get involved. It's Friday. It's time to get involved and you can win this. All you've got to do is go to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/diamondprintandsignage. That's all one word. And Diamond Print and Signage, which is run by Sean, yeah, are the people that produce my gingers.
Ah, yeah. That's good, isn't it?
So if you want a mouse mat of the quality of my ginger, you need to stop sniggering. you need to get along to facebook.com/diamondprintandsignage and upload something, and if you win, you'll get it put on a mug or a mouse mat. Can't
that's
be bad.
Good. No.
Tweets, I've got Rehab Hair and Beauty Spa is open this Sunday, 10 to 4, come and check in and be pampered. I would, but they haven't told me where it is. So
yeah, I'm really like aggressive, aren't we, about people not sending us the right information.
Well, it's only because, you know, we want to promote all these people, because that's what we're here to do, but if I can't direct anybody out, you know, they're going to say, cool, that doesn't work, nobody came over. Mm-hmm. But so let us know where you are, Rehab. I know it's difficult in 140 characters to get anything done, but let us know where you are, because they're open 10 to 4 on Sunday, and I'm sure people want to come over. I've got this as well, which is Pilgrim's Hospices. They've got a moonlight walk, A Night to Remember, on Friday the 21st of September. What?
I remember this one. Isn't this the one that you're supposed to be doing? We told them. Listener, he's making throat-cutting noises at me.
Friday the 21st of September, 8 p.m, Kings Hall, Herne Bay, a 10 or 15 kilometre return walk under the moonlight to Whitstable. You can register on that. It's all for Pilgrim's Hospice.
You can stay at Jules' house afterwards. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I was going to say, you can stay at yours. It's full. You can register. Come on, get along. Yeah, I'm going. I'm going to go and do it. You can register online at www.pilgrimsmoonlightwalk.org. And that's on the 21st of September. It's a moonlight walk, 10 or 15 Ks, raising money for charity, starting at the King's Hall, Herne Bay, and walking to Whitstable, where the pubs will be open, no
so
doubt.
So how do we sponsor you, Paul?
I'll let you know when I'm ready. Don't worry. All the details will become available. Cool. Right, have you got anything else?
I have.
Go on.
I have. Or should I do this bran bucket one, even
well,
though I don't know what it is?
Well, you can give
it
a try.
It might be that they do them on a regular basis, so they haven't put the actual date. But never before has marketing been more important to business growth than it is today. So they're having a marketing day where you'll learn what growth stage of business is really at and what that means, how to develop a value proposition, who you should be attracting to your business, what makes the brand bucket the definitive way to run your marketing, 6 steps that will revolutionise how you think about marketing, and you'll create a business plan as well. It's just £47, inclusive of fees and VAT, and it's run by Barnaby Winter of the Brand Bucket. So go to makeyourmarketingworkjuly.eventbrite.com. So it may be that that has happened, because it says July on it, but I would suggest they're probably going to run some more as well. But Barnaby at the Brand Bucket.
Cool. Good stuff. Well, we're just about at the end of the programme. I've got one last email that I want to read out before we go off air, and that's join Kent Wildlife Trust for a business event with a difference on Thursday the 6th of September, when they'll be holding a wine tasting evening to raise vital funds for its conservation programme.
There's a lot of
wine.
Well.
Yeah, there's a lot of wine tasting going on, isn't there? The event will be held in the beautiful surroundings of the Challock home of Amanda Cottrell, OBE, who is the Vice President of the Kent Wildlife Trust. And this is a great opportunity to sample some fantastic local wines, network with some of the top businesses in Kent, and raise vital funds in aid of the county's wildlife. The event, which is sponsored by Zenon Tax Limited and Jarman Solicitors, is tickets only, priced at £25 a person, and the numbers are limited. You need to contact Marion Turner at the Kent Wildlife Trust. I have no other contact details, so I will find out the contact details and I'll put them on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. But, you know, for the moment, we've reached the end of the programme. Oh, there's one thing, because I was going to read this out as well. Louisa Felstead, facilitator Kent, has just said, there's some great Chamber events coming up. Please check out the website. That's Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce website.
I have them here, yeah. Breakfast with Business, Maidstone on 3rd of August, Sitting yep. Board 8th of August, Tunbridge Wells 15th of August.
Yep, they're all on the website, and the website is linked under the event page on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. But we're kind of out of time now, so we'll cover that some more later on. I'd just like to say a great big thank you to Kate Lawson of Element Law, Fraser Thompson of Chapel Down Wine and the English Wines Group, Ruth from Hagelin's Bistro, the famous Joe Dodds, and all our listeners, tweeters and callers. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been lovely to spend the afternoon with you. Have a great week, and we will be back next week.
And Little Dodds' birthday.
It will be Little Dodds' sixth birthday, so we're and she's in the studio.
She
will be here. So, you know, we're expecting lots of birthday wishes for that. and we'll look forward to you all joining us next week, and we're going to play you out a little bit of Snow Patrol.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk.